Did you know that Jesus spent 40 days on earth after his resurrection from the grave? 40 days on earth. Why did Jesus stay on earth? Why did Jesus stay on earth? Why didn't he ascend directly to heaven after his resurrection? One reason Jesus stayed for 40 days on this earth was to show and prove to the disciples that he is alive. That he is alive. To demonstrate to his followers that he lives. After all, they know that the Roman authorities put him to death, that his body was taken down from the cross after his side was pierced with a spear to make sure that indeed he was dead and he was laid in a tomb. And when this happened, they were filled with despair, with fear. Many even went into hiding. They had believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Son of God. And now their hopes were shattered. And they had forgotten about the promise that he would return from the grave. And they felt that they had no future. But then when Jesus appeared among them after the resurrection, their lives were changed, transformed. The greatest miracle in history took place. Jesus, who was crucified, laid in the tomb, is alive. During those 40 days, Jesus appeared to various groups of disciples, proving beyond a doubt that he was alive, that he had been raised from the dead by the power of God, resurrection power. And over two decades later, the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15:6 that he, meaning Jesus, appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. 500 brothers at one time who were still most alive when Paul wrote this text. Even with so many days and accounted appearances of Jesus alive after his death, people still doubted. Even the apostles, the disciples who spent years with Jesus, doubted. And we have, too, have seasons of doubt in our lives. Or am I the only one? I don't think so. I think we've all doubted at some point. Doubt is a common human experience, after all. Many doubt things over their lifetime. We have doubts about our future. We have doubts about our work. We have doubts about ourselves and our abilities. We have doubts about, is Jesus really the Son of God? Did he really raise from the grave? Does God exist? We wish we did not doubt at times, right? Our desire is to be firm in our faith, to believe, to never doubt. But we do. We have seasons of doubt. But the wonderful news is that even in our doubts, Jesus does not leave us. In fact, he does the opposite. He embraces us. He embraces us. In our moments of uncertainty, it is important for us to seek Jesus for a deeper faith. Today, I want to look at an account in John 20 when Jesus appears to the disciples. And I want to focus particularly on Jesus' interaction with Thomas. You probably guessed that from the video of who was speaking there. But let's begin together with reading from John chapter 20, and we're going to start off with verses 19 to 22. If you have your Bibles, you can open up. If you don't have a Bible, there's a pew Bible there for you in the seat there in front of you. And if you still don't want to open God's Word, which I really encourage you to do, we also have the scripture on screen for you as well. So let's read. 19 to 22 in John 20. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Amen. The disciples were in hiding. Why were they in hiding? Because they were fearful of the Jews, the ones who had given Jesus over to be arrested and crucified. The disciples were in fear for their own lives, that they would be next. And on that first day, after Jesus is missing from the tomb, they're hiding. But what happens? What happened? Jesus appears among them. When they got the doors locked, he appears among them. He's standing there suddenly in the middle of the room. And this is supernatural. This is resurrection power at work, guys. And Jesus further reveals to his disciples that he is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God by appearing there suddenly. And he reveals his glory to them. And what does he say to them, knowing that they're afraid? "Peace be with you. Peace be with you." The world needs peace. The world needs peace. People desire peace. And these are familiar words comforting his disciples. "Peace be with you." And then Jesus shows his nail-pierced hands and his side where the spear pierced him to his disciples. And the disciples' doubt and fear is addressed. Jesus himself is alive. And instantly the disciples are joyful. They are glad. Their fear vanishes, vaporizes into thin air. Why? Because their Savior lives. True peace, lasting peace, peace that surpasses all understandings, as the scriptures say, comes only from the Son of God. Only he can give this kind of peace. Jesus appearing in his glory reassures his disciples that Jesus is who he said he is and who they believed him to be. It's a revelation of the deity of Jesus, that he is God. And these words in the Bible also bring us peace. These are the words written down by an eyewitness of all of this. The Apostle John even writes a few verses in the same chapter, verses 30 to 31. He says, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." And then John again, in the next chapter, 21, verse 24, reiterates, "This is a disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true." These words, these accounts, these stories, guys, they're true. But what if? What if the disciples are liars? Only trying to make up stories to benefit themselves at the time. Well, let's think about this. Every single one of these disciples, these apostles, were heavily persecuted and martyred for the message they preached after Jesus ascended to heaven. Now, why would someone be willing to be tortured and killed, even in such gruesome deaths as many of them suffered? Why would someone do that for a lie? Peter was crucified upside down. Simon the Zealot was sawed in half. No one in their right mind would teach a lie in the face of such brutality. Do you guys know the tongue-in-cheek channel, YouTube channel, or website called the Babylon Bee? You guys heard of that? Some of you guys nodding. Okay, Zach, thumbs up. Have you ever seen the skit they did that if Jesus' resurrection were a hoax? It's pretty funny. You should watch it. But the whole idea of it is that, you know, portraying what if Jesus' resurrection was a hoax. And the disciples devised and carried out a lie about Jesus' resurrection. And to sum it up, the kind of main line was, we lie and then we die. And there's one disciple who's kind of apprehensive, like, okay, well, what do we get out of this? Surely first we get riches, fame, and fortune, right? And Peter says, nope, we will be hated and reviled and then brutally murdered. And they're all in the video, all excited about this. It portrays how ridiculous it would be that the disciples would do this. It absolutely makes no sense that the disciples, the apostles, would make it a giant hoax. And afterwards, they traveled far places, far distances to preach of the resurrected Christ, the gospel message to the world. And to end up being martyred and murdered. And there had been many false messianic figures and movements before this, but all of those died off after that main figure, that false Messiah, died. But Jesus' movement grew. It expanded after his death. Why? Because he lives. He was resurrected. But yet we doubt. There was one disciple who travels all the way to India to preach the resurrected Christ, to preach forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ and eternal life and salvation in him, to plant churches there, and then is murdered by execution by spears. What disciple is this? Do you guys know? Thomas. But before Thomas was sent to India, he doubted. So let's keep reading verses 24 to 25 in John chapter 20. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." Now, Thomas had a really difficult time believing his friends. He could not wrap his head around what his fellow disciples were saying. He just couldn't believe it. And these weren't just acquaintances or regular friends. These were his close personal friends, his brothers, you could say. He had spent 3 years together with them, following Jesus, witnessing the miracles that Jesus had done. Yet Thomas would not take the word of his close friends seriously. His brother's words as truth. He would not. He cannot and will not. Have you ever had one of your friends tell you something that you just couldn't believe? Maybe it was one of your buddies said, you know, guess what's sitting in my driveway right now? That brand new Porsche I always talk about. You're like, no, I can't believe it. I don't believe it till I see it. You're lying to me. Or perhaps one of your friends calls you up and he's been hunting. He says, "I just harvested the biggest 8-point elk." And you're just like, "I can't believe it until I see it." Or one of your friends calls you up and says, "You can't believe it. You'll never believe it. I got a yes when I asked that person who's way out of their league to marry them." And you're like, "I can't believe it until I see it, that ring on that finger." Well, it's something like that, but way more. Thomas says that unless he not only sees with his own eyes, but puts his finger in the holes where the nails pierced Jesus and his hand where the spear pierced him, he will not believe. Lisa was teaching this to the kids Sunday school last Sunday, and when they read that part about, you know, putting your finger in the holes, they were all kind of like, it's kind of comical to get a kid's perspective on that, children's perspective on that. But Thomas said, unless I do that, I will never believe that Jesus is alive. He says, I will never believe. And imagine the other disciples pleading and trying to convince Thomas that he lives. We saw him, brother. How can you doubt? You saw the miracles Jesus did. But Thomas was not always a doubter. In fact, in John 11, when the other disciples were hesitant to return to Judea with Jesus because the Jews wanted to stone him and put him to death, Thomas was the one who pipes up in faith in Christ, and Jesus says, let us go that we may die with him. Yet here, Thomas refuses to believe. But what if? What if doubt can be our first steps towards a deeper faith? Because if you think about it, it reveals a sincere heart seeking truth. But let's continue, because something extraordinary happens next. John 20, 26 and 27. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Amazing. Jesus appears again to his disciples, and this time, who's there? Thomas. Thomas is there this time. And Jesus' response to Thomas, doubting Thomas, is amazing. Jesus doesn't respond to Thomas's doubt with indifference or hardness or completely ignores him. No. Jesus' response is empathetic. It's understanding. Jesus not only appears to Thomas and say, look, here I am. Now do you believe? No, Jesus knows exactly what Thomas needed in order to believe. He knew Thomas's heart, that he not only needed to see, but also touch Jesus's wounds. Put your hand here where the nails pierced. Put your hand on my side where the spear pierced. Do not disbelieve, but believe. Jesus meets Thomas where he is. And that is what Jesus does still today. He meets us right where we are. If you're having doubts about your faith today, if you're struggling and believing every day in Jesus, if you're having trouble understanding that all your sins have been paid for in full and forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, then call out to God and ask that the Lord Jesus Christ would meet you. Ask him to turn your disbelief into belief. Notice that Jesus did not appear until 8 days later. What a long week for Thomas. Everyone else in his group are believing and rejoicing, and Thomas is left doubting for several days. Jesus didn't appear right away to Thomas when he said he wouldn't believe unless he touched Jesus. You see, when we call to God to turn our disbelief into belief, it may not happen right away. The Lord may not meet us that day or even that week, but he will just at the right moment, at the right time, where you are. Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me." You know, we also must be sensitive in listening to his voice, hearing it, and hearing the knock when he knocks on the door of our hearts. It requires a soft heart, a heart willing, seeking for Jesus, not ignoring his voice or his knock. Jesus speaks to us. He knocks on our hearts, and we need to open the door and let him in. Even though Jesus had so much to do in the short 40 days before ascending into heaven to prepare his disciples to evangelize to the ends of the earth, Jesus took the time for one individual. He took the time for Thomas. He took the time for Peter. He took the time for Mary. He took the time for the two men on the road to Emmaus. And today, Jesus takes the time for you and I. And it's so crucially important that we encounter Jesus on a daily basis, not just today, but tomorrow, the next day, that we walk with him. Jesus invited Thomas into his presence, showing that he's not offended by our doubts, but rather he used them as building blocks for our faith to believe. You see, Thomas's encounter with Jesus builds up his faith. And how does Thomas respond? Let's read verses 28 and 29. "Then Thomas answered him, 'My Lord and my God.' And Jesus said to him, 'Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed.'" My Lord and my God. Thomas's doubt is transformed into faith. There is no more doubt in Thomas's mind of who Jesus is. He knows that he is the Lord, the God, his God. It underscores a pivotal moment where intellectual doubt gives way to personal faith and testimony. And this encounter reveals to us how Jesus turns our moments of uncertainty into declarations of assurance and worship. And it's so important that we move, just as Thomas did, from skepticism to testimony of declaring who Jesus is in an assurance of our faith. And that's why it's so important that we build our relationship, a personal relationship with our Lord, that we keep having fresh encounters with him daily. How? Through prayer. Through prayer. And through prayer and the reading of the Word. And this is a wonderful cycle, guys. When you pray, when you're in the presence of the Lord, and when you're communing with him and speaking to him and he's talking to you, there's relationship being built, and you're excited about it, and it motivates you to read the Word. And when you read the Word, it motivates you to pray. They go hand in hand. The Word's like bread for your soul, and it grows you, it nourishes you. And we have the presence of the Holy Spirit in us. When we come to Christ, he puts his Spirit in us, guys. And we're spiritually reborn. And we commune with God. Because we're in his presence. His presence is in us. He speaks to our hearts. And we can sense his presence. Jesus' final words in verse 29 just inspires me. It motivates me so much. And it blesses me. Jesus says, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Guys, Jesus is talking about us. He's talking to us here. He's talking to the future multitudes of generations of believers, of Christians. We who have not physically seen Jesus, yet still believe. Jesus says we are blessed. Declares them blessed. So believe. 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 If you're doubting, disbelieving today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, then pray and ask God to help you, to turn your disbelief into belief. Guys, bring your doubts to Jesus. Bring your doubts to Jesus. He will not turn away from you. He will not be offended by your doubts. He will meet you where you are, and He will reassure your faith. He will lift you up. And I want to reassure you that faith can coexist with questions. It is healthy and good to ask questions and to seek answers from God. Because questions lead to answers, and answers will build up our faith. Encountering Christ is key to overcoming our struggles daily. Jesus, the risen Savior, shows us His willingness to engage with our doubts. And this encounter with Thomas teaches us that personal relationship with believers is what Jesus desires. And it reveals the heart of God to forgive us and to strengthen our faith, even in our doubts. Jesus invites us into a deeper relationship with Him that transforms our skepticism into powerful testimonies and a renewed assurance of faith. Amen? Let's pray, and can I ask you to stand with me as we pray together?